one body bag or two?
And hello and welcome everyone to episode 16. Do you want more flan? There's flan right there. No more flan.
I can't stand squishy stuff right now.
Oh, let me get the squishy stuff out of your
No,
way.
Like, if it's there, it's fine. It's just like, yeah.
What about salsa? Do you need chips salsa. And salsa?
No, I'm okay. I'm full. I think if I try to eat anything right now, I'm just going to hurl it up.
Yeah. Ask Sam how I was destroying that salsa just a minute ago.
I was like,
ago.
Hey, can you give me a small plate so I can get my brother some
I was like, yeah,
flan.
Sure. Let me and get a little
yeah,
bit
sure.
more.
Yeah, sure. Hum. I'm like, I'll go get it. So, but yeah, episode 16, and it's week of the murder.
Week
back
of the murder.
Here again.
Did you tell them what you made?
Oh, well.
You can put the picture. Too.
You can put it on.
I will
yeah,
post
put
the
it
picture,
on the page.
But I did my first attempt. I've never done it before, and I've been getting quite of a baking mood, but our oven doesn't work. So I've been learning how to use slow cookers.
Alternative.
And so I learned how to make flan, and I had never made flan before in my life. And this time I decided to make it with a slow cooker because you're supposed to use an oven instead. But I did a slow cooker, and apparently it came out really good.
I'm surprised how good it came out, to be quite honest, in a slow cooker.
Right? It looks as if it was made in an oven.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was really good, and apparently I will post a picture of it, and I
you
like
You post
it.
The recipe, too. So people can try making it in the
slow cooker.
In the slow cooker, yeah.
You can always forward them the page on which you saw the
pretty much
instructions yeah, on how to do.
But yeah, it's pretty simple, actually, and super easy. It's just custard.
Sam's flan.
Flan.
And a slow cooker.
And that brings me to my next question. Besides water, what were you drinking, Ellen?
I annihilated my hibiscus tea. I like the tea so much. I love hibiscus tea. So Sam was lovely enough to go to Tasty before they closed, before she picked us up, and was like, hibiscus tea.
I got her hibiscus tea. And then Joe, what did I get you?
You got me one of my favorites from that area, and it is called the Great White, which has a lot of jasmine tea in it. Yeah.
Because that's what it's called. It's called the Great
it's
White.
It's called the Great White because it uses like jasmine tea and like
Why
white.
Why can't it be somewhere. The Great Jasmine?
The Great Jasmine? I don't know.
And?
But apparently this drink has like the most caffeine in it out of all the other teas.
Really? Even the other than the coffee.
Yeah. I've had the coffee. Woo! Their coffee is like
their coffee
if you
is good.
Need to like stay up all night to like probably like Sam like that needs to edit and stuff, get one of their coffees, dude. It is like woo. Yep.
You're talking to Sam though, who does not like coffee.
I call it the torture liquid.
You can have them put like more cream than coffee.
What I'm drinking today from Tasty also is the matcha Thai milk tea. And I love it with extra balls.
What kind of balls? Be specific about your balls, Sam.
Tapioca.
But they're honey tapioca.
Happy tapioca.
They're the green ones. If you guys ever go.
Yeah. And if you hear a battlefield in the background, that's just my brother.
Ambient sound.
Yeah, ambient noises.
Anyway, what's great about this place is on their drinks, they have 32, as
32
in 32
ounces.
Ounce. And on it, it says 32 for a thirsty you.
I'll take a picture of it and post it. So, you won't see a picture of Yelly's tea because that is
I got annihilated. I'm sorry. I mean, I could grab Robert's.
Ours tea. Do you think Robert still has his?
Nope, his is in there too.
Alrighty, so yeah, that's our drinks for today, and we're going to jump on it because I have an incredibly long story today to keep you guys entertained.
Entertain me.
Yes.
Are you not entertained?
God damn it, I was going to say that, but I had a mouthful of aloe vera.
Wow, he actually sat up and was like...
Oh, he does that. Yeah, that's Junior. And again, we are actually recording at my place again, and where you'll hear cat bells because my cat has a bell on her collar. His collar, sorry. You may hear Athena chewing on her new toy that we got at the store today. And you will probably be hearing my brothers yelling in the background.
Oh, you're so fat, Junior.
So.
Say something.
Say meow. Let's take a picture of Joe. What, Junior? Pirate
with
cat.
With his ass in his face.
Could you imagine if he just slightly farted right now?
Oh, jeez.
He's like, cheat. Would it taste like chicken?
He's like, what's this? Oops. Is this a mic? Is this, what is this? What is this?
Hey, cheese, Junior. Oh, now I think I missed the like head on.
Junior.
There you go.
right.
Joe looks like a freaking pirate. He's like, he's like, get my good side.
And Athena's like, I'm right here too. Where's your toy?
It's probably in the living room with the shreds.
Really?
No. I said probably.
No, I don't see any. I don't see any fluff over there. I don't see any evidence of murder.
Really?
I think she wants that bone. Yeah. Alrighty. So today, Auntie's trying to be an excellent auntie and give her child her
bone.
A bone. Well,
she just
burped. Yeah. Don't give it
she
to her.
Wants, yeah, she wants to.
She just wants it because she wants it. She doesn't want it because she's... Okay. Alrighty. So today, I am covering a kidnapping.
What kind of kidnapping?
It is the kidnapping of Elizabeth Fritzl. Fritzl? Did I say her last name right?
Fritzl?
Fritzl, I think so.
Yeah, Fritzl.
I want to attempt this. Fritzl.
Yeah, Fritzl. That's what I thought. So... we are going to just jump right into it because this is a pretty long story. So Elizabeth Fritzl spent 24 years of her life in captivity, confined to a makeshift cellar under the house of her own parents, where she was repeatedly tortured at the hands of her own father, Joseph Fritzl.
Oh, this guy. Okay.
Yes, I know what you're talking this is about a now. Recent case, actually. Yeah, very, very recent.
What year?
2008.
Yeah.
Yes. 10 years ago. A little over 10 years ago.
2008?
Yeah.
We're in 2019.
A little over 10 years ago. So about 11.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
I was like, fingers.
Right? I know math. That's why math.
Art major.
Right? Art major. So the Fritzl case emerged in April 2008 when a woman named Elizabeth Fritzl told police in the town of.
Oh, yeah. She feels fat.
Esmitten, Austria? That she had been held captive for 24 years by her father, Joseph Fritzl. Joseph.
I think it's Joseph or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Or Joseph, I think.
I don't
or
know.
Or is this not Russian?
I think no, Joseph. I think it's Joseph.
Yeah, I think it's...
You know what? Let's find out how you pronounce his name. So the Fritzl case emerged in April 2008 when a woman named Elizabeth Fritzl told police in the town of Austria that she had been held captive for 24 years by her father, Joseph Fritzl. Mm-hmm. Joseph had assaulted, sexually abused her, and raped her numerous times during her imprisonment inside a concealed area in the basement of the family home. The abuse by Elizabeth's father resulted in the birth of 7 children. 3 of them remained in captivity with their mother. One had died just days after birth, and the other 3 were brought up by Fritzl, and his wife, Rosemary, had been reported as foundlings, meaning they found them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Thank you for my daughter knocking the table over a lot. So we're going to do a quick bio on Joseph Fritzl. Probably not even saying his name right, but whatever. That's how I'm going to go with it. I'm going to stick to it. Joseph Fritzl was born April 9th, 1935 in Esmitten, Austria, to Joseph Fritzl Sr. and Maria Fritzl. He grew up as an only child raised solely by his working mother. His father had deserted the family when Fritzl was 4 and never again came into contact with him.
So he left for a pack of smokes and never came back?
Pretty much. He left to the corner store and never returned.
We gotta get that free Slurpee.
Right? Are we gonna like keep points here of how much of a psychopath this he is? Nature versus nurture again?
Oh my god.
Let's see. So Fritzl Sr. later fought as a soldier in the war for World War II, but was killed in action in 1944.
It's KIA.
Yes. His name appeared on a his name actually appears on a memorial placard in Austria.
I could I actually see him through the picture and I'm just like, man, this guy.
Dude, he's a fucking creeper.
Yeah.
Mm. Like his face just looks like
a picture.
Even that look that he has.
Eyebrows. It's the eyebrows that are just like eyebrows. Fucking wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, in 1956, at the age of 21, he was married. He married Rosemary, who was just 17, with whom he had 2 sons and 5 daughters too.
2 sons.
Yeah, shit, man.
After completing his education at HTL Technical College with a qualification in electrical engineering, Fritzl obtained a job in a Vorslin plane?
What's that?
It's the city.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I thought it was like an object, like a plane.
It's
or
in
something.
Linz? L-I-N-Z, Linz.
Sorry for us butchering names. I apologize for all of this.
English is my only language.
Romanus.
Romanus. So from 1969 to 1971, he obtained a job in a construction material firm in Usmitten.
Later he became
a technical equipment salesman traveling through Austria.
Better later than never, I guess, right?
Oh, my God. He retired from active employment when he turned 60 in 1995, but continued to commercial activities thereafter. In addition to his apartment building in Auschwitz, Fritzl rented out several other properties. In 1972, he purchased a guest house in an adjacent campsite at Lake Montesi.
Adjacent, not parallel.
Adjacent.
Okay, just making sure.
He ran it together with his wife until 1996.
What is adjacent, really? Like, right isn't next it the same to, as pretty parallel? Much.
Yeah. No, and right next to. Parallel is across.
Why don't they just say across?
Because adjacent or sounds right more next to. Fancy. I'm assuming.
Why you not just say so that stupid?
So, by all accounts, Joseph and Rosemary lived their married lives. They brought 7 beautiful children into the world. From outside, they were
normal. He was a fucking condom, dude. Like, 7?
Hey, my dad was 1 out of 21 kids.
Oh, my gosh.
That use a
for
fucking...
For me, I don't know. Like, if I ever think, like, of having kids, I'm just like, 1 or 2.
That seems 3. To be the
and
average.
And there's some people out there that are like, I want a fucking football team. Yeah, and I'm just like, damn.
James wants 12 kids. So... From the outside, they were a normal family. However, it was a different...
From the outside.
However, it was a different story when they were alone in the house. The Fritzl children were scared of their father, and Joseph would often be angry and violent toward them. The children would be punished if they did not keep quiet when he entered a room or whenever they misbehaved.
Dang.
Yes. Although he had 7 children, it was clear Rosemary and the other children that Joseph had a favorite, and that was Elizabeth. Mm. This would turn into much more than an obsession in the coming years.
I wonder why, Elizabeth?
I wonder that too, because
he had 5 girls.
5
right?
girls, but
was
out of
Elizabeth the youngest?
No. If I'm not mistaken, middle. I think she was the middle.
Huh.
Yeah, it was real, and everyone knew, you talked, I didn't put it in here, at least I don't remember if I did, but, all the kids were like, yeah, he would always Elizabeth this, Elizabeth that. Like, it was.
I wonder if it, came down to a D20 and he was just like, no, that was a natural 1. No, that was a 5. And then it came up to her. It was like, ooh, a natural 20. Natural 20. That's going to be that one.
This was not based off of a dice roll.
I know that.
No, for a second, I was like, I'm so out of the circle at this fucking reference. I was like, wait, he's not talking about dice, is he? And then you guys ooh, a natural 20. And I was like, dice roll. And I was like, I connected the dots.
So
I was buffering.
Fritzl had a bit of a criminal history. So in 1967, Fritzl broke into a house in Linz of a 24-year-old nurse while her husband was away. He raped her while holding a knife to her throat, threatening to kill her if she screamed. According to an annual report in 1967, a press release of the same year, he was also named as a suspect in another attempted rape of a 21-year-old woman and was known for indecent exposure.
Jeez, man. He's already got 7. Oh, wait. This is before the 7 kids.
Before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the same year his first child was born.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Fritzl was arrested and served 12 months of an 18-month prison sentence. At this time, Elizabeth... this happened when Elizabeth was a year old. In accordance with Austrian law, the criminal record was expunged after 15 years.
Austrian?
Yes.
Where is Austria?
In Europe.
What part of Europe?
Europe is fucking huge, so if you really want me to get into details...
I wanted a map drawn out.
Well, you're not going to get one because colors. I never took geography, remember?
Okay. So art major.
Yeah, art major. So his criminal record was expunged after 15 years. Remember that little
for
thing?
For the rape?
Yes. Remember the whole after thing I was telling years? You about in Europe, what they do?
They expunge you.
Yes. After so many years. Crazy. So as a result, more than 25 years later, when he applied to adopt or foster Elizabeth's children, the local social service authorities did not discover his criminal history.
Wait, so they're not all his kids?
They are his kids.
But you just said foster.
You're going to find out. I'm going to...
Wait, Two. I have a piece of the puzzle on one hand and one piece on the other, and they're not connecting.
Because I'm going to give you the middle piece in a second, and you're going to put it together, and it's going to be like an awe moment.
Okay, go.
Okay. So I'm now going to get into the case itself, and you're going to get puzzle pieces.
Why would you do this to my brain?
Because this is how I function. You should know this by now. So Joseph Fritzl was born, as I said, on April 9th, 1935.
Is that part of the puzzle?
I guess. So in 1956, at the age of 21, he married his 17-year-old girlfriend, whom they had two sons, five daughters, including Elizabeth, who was born in 1966. Fritzl reported began abusing Elizabeth in 1977 when she was just 11. After completing contemporary education at...
Is he still alive?
We'll get into that.
Which means yes.
So after completing contemporary... after completing her education at 15, Elizabeth started a course to become a waitress. In January 1983, she ran away from home and went into hiding in Vienna with her friend from work.
Did she eat a lot of sausage down there?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was thinking that too. Oh, my God.
Do you think she enjoyed eating all that Vienna sausage?
I don't know. I kind of want to visit Vienna.
To eat sausage?
No.
Are those the little tiny ones, too?
Yeah.
I have some here.
The old picture of it.
I hate
Joe
them.
Fucking hates Vienna sausage.
I've never had one.
What?
Robert loves them.
I've seen you guys. Like,
Robert likes them. Oh, God.
Or at least I think Robert does.
I should go confer. Babe, do you like tiny sausages in your mouth?
Okay. She was found by police within 3 weeks and returned to her parents. She was 17 years old. She rejoined her waitress course, finished it in mid-1984, and was offered a job in nearby Linz.
I mean, they have like an actual course for people to be waitresses.
Well, yeah. So how the system used to work in the day was you finished your basic education, which was like high school, middle school level. And then when you got into high school, that's when you start going to school for specific things that you want to go for.
And she's like, I want to be a waitress.
That's what she signed up for because it was the quickest program so she can get out of the house.
That's understandable.
Yeah. So, and that was
you
basically...
You go be a waitress, girlfriend. Go! Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but then again, back over there, waitresses are treated differently than they are here. Like in Japan and whatnot, too. Mm-hmm. So, it's just... Here in the United States, things are just stupid. But... You know, whatever. America! So, let's get started to the captivity. So, I wanted to jump and spend more time...
Is it really a kidnapping if it's her daughter?
You're gonna find out what. Okay. So, I wanted to spend a little bit more time on the case itself and the captivity, so I kept the bios of them pretty short.
Mm-hmm.
So, on August 28th, 1984, after Elizabeth just turned 18, Fritzl lured her into the basement of the family house, saying he needed help carrying a door. This was the last piece he needed to seal.
So he pulled a whole Buffalo Bill thing where he was just like, hey, can you help me with the couch to bring it inside the van?
Except this was his own daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
And this wasn't into a van. This was to their basement.
Into his basement, yeah.
So.
But it was the same concept. He lured her in there. Athena just flopped. Okay, never mind.
No, I think she saw me trying to give Junior a chip.
Hey. Right?
She's like, hey, I want something too. So, this was the last piece to seal what would turn out to be the chamber where Elizabeth was held captive. After Elizabeth held the door in place while Fritzl fitted it into the frame, he held an ether-soaked towel to her daughter's face until she was unconscious, then threw her into the chamber.
Ether-soaked?
Yeah.
What's ether? Is it like knockout
chloroform?
Gas? Oh!
Yeah. So...
I didn't know it was called ether.
Yeah, it's another way.
Is that the first term before it became chloroform?
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just like another word for it.
I feel stupid right now.
No, don't feel stupid.
You guys
stupid.
Are both looking at me like...
No.
Like if somebody would like
remember...
smell this cloth of ether, Yelly, I would have been like, okay.
It's the best high you'll ever have, Yelly.
So after Elizabeth's disappearance, Rosemary hastily filed a missing person report. She was clearly frantic over her daughter's whereabouts, but just... Joseph seemed unfazed.
Yeah, Joseph.
Days turned into weeks and weeks turned into months when out of nowhere a letter arrived claiming Elizabeth had grown tired of her family and ran away.
Was it written in the dad's hand?
How old was she?
She was 18, just turned 18. Fritzl handed over a letter to the police. At first, the first of several that he had forced Elizabeth to write while in captivity.
Okay.
The letter postmarked...
I would have made, like, some code or something, but, like, somebody figure this out. Like, made all the A's or something different, but, like, help. Help. Or like, all like, the sentences lined up with help.
Or, like, what was it in Lemony Snicket's series Unfortunate Events where, like, she made all kinds of grammatical errors when the kids knew that she was, like, a grammar freak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He does not let Junior get close to me at all.
She's like, well, if you don't want him to claw you, I'll keep that at my
pretty
job.
Pretty much.
Thina, lay down.
So Fritzl handed over the letter to police, the first of several that had forced Elizabeth to write while in captivity. The letter postmarked was Biona, stated, which is another another, like, I guess you could say city over.
So did he, like, go through the trouble of getting postage from over there and mail it?
He would drive over there just to get it posted from somewhere else to make it seem like she was not in town.
Could you imagine? It's like, hey, honey, I'm going to go out on a drive. I won't be back until tomorrow morning. Where the fuck are you going? Mind your own damn business.
Mind your business.
Mind your own business. Where was the wife to be like, yeah, she's down in the basement. Like,
hey, out of the garbage.
She didn't know? So you're just not going to hear, like, thumping or screaming down in the
basement?
There's
explanation to that. I already know what happened with this.
Yes. So the later. So it stated that Elizabeth was tired of living with her family and that she was staying with her friend. She warned her parents not to look for her or she would leave the country. Fritzl told police that she had most likely joined a religious cult, something she had talked previously about doing.
You mean his mini cult he was starting in his own goddamn basement?
Essentially. Over the next 24 years, Fritzl visited Elizabeth in the hidden chamber almost every day or a minimum of 3 times a week, bringing food and other supplies. After his arrest, he admitted that he repeatedly raped her. At first, Fritzl strapped up her arms and then tied them behind her back with an iron chain, which he had then secured to a metal post behind her bed. She could only move approximately 2 feet and a half on either side of the bed. After 2 days, he gave her more freedom of movement by attaching the chain around her waist. Then, about 6 to 9 months into her imprisonment, he removed the metal chains because it was hindering his sexual activity with his daughter. That's a picture.
Man, that's such a pain in the ass. You know, movement is everything, especially when it's with your daughter.
That's so gross, Joe.
Why would you say that, Joe? That
poor girl. Could you imagine growing up, like, your whole fucking life? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
No, I'm just being stupid.
I know, we know.
I know, you know.
But so, according to Fritzl...
Too soon.
He sexually abused, raped her sometimes several times a day. Over the course of nearly a quarter of a century, he would rape her at least 3,000 times, resulting in babies who themselves often were forced to watch the abuse as they grew older. Elizabeth was all alone and had even contemplated suicide if it wasn't for her children, she stated. 2 years into her captivity, November 1986, Elizabeth became pregnant, though she miscarried at 10 weeks. 2 weeks later, she fell pregnant again. 2 years later, she fell pregnant again, this time carrying all 7 children that would follow after. Elizabeth gave birth to 7 children during her captivity. August 30th, 1988, her first child, Kristen, was born. February 1st, 1990, Stefan was born. August 29th, 1992, Lisa is born. And on nine months old, she discovered outside the family. Oh, I'm sorry. I totally read that all wrong. February 1st, 1999, Stefan was born. August 29th, 1992, Lisa is born. And on May 1993, at 9 months old, she is discovered outside the family home in a cardboard box.
That first baby again was 1999 or 1990?
The first baby, you mean she was 1988.
88? Yes. Oh, fuck, she's my age.
Yes. To this day, she is your age. And the second one's 1990.
Second one was 1990.
Yes,
okay.
Stefan.
I thought I heard 1999, and then you went back to like 92. And
no,
I was
it
like,
was August.
I heard that in the 90s. I'm just sorry. Like, no, it's yeah. Okay. I was just like, that's.
Because then there's long. August 29th in 1992. Lisa is born, and then the next year, only 9 months later, in May 1993, 9 months later, she is discovered, Lisa, outside of the family's house in a cardboard box, allegedly left there by Elizabeth with a note asking for the child to be looked after.
I was about to say, did the box have the word kittens written on it?
help me. So Elizabeth was torn from being separated from her children, but was happy that her upstairs, so you're going to hear this a lot. They refer because half of the kids got to stay downstairs with the mom and half of them went upstairs. So the kids constantly get referred as the downstairs and upstairs kids.
Oh, wow.
So Elizabeth was torn from being separated from her children, but was happy that her upstairs children would at least have a better life than those left downstairs.
Are you sure? Because the dad seems pretty fucking...
Reportedly, he never did anything to them.
Really? To the grandchildren?
He never even did anything to his other kids.
He's like, this is the fruit of my loins, quite literally.
Besides being, like, abusive, like physically abusive, mm-hmm. he was never sexually abusive to anyone other than Elizabeth. Supposedly, that was what was reported. So
interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. So,
but like my thing is like, where was the mom with all this? Wasn't she like, hey, where the fuck are you going in the middle of the fucking night? You know,
I will cover this. So
still like
February 26, 1994, Monica, the fourth child, is born, and on December 1994, 10-month-year-old Monica is found in a stroller outside the entrance of the house. Shortly after, Rosemary receives a phone call asking her to take care of the child. The caller sounds like Elizabeth, but it was assumed that Fritzl used a recording of her voice. Rosemary reported the incident to the police, expressing astonishment that Elizabeth knew their new unlisted phone number. Yeah, so they did do an investigation on it, but there's not much you can get off of that. So on May 28th, 1996, Elizabeth gave birth to twin boys. Unfortunately, one died less than 3 days left. 3 days later, suffering from severe breathing difficulties and passing away in her arms at only 66 hours of life. Fritzl removed and cremated the body. Fritzl always denied that it was he was responsible for murdering, stating, "I don't know why I didn't help. I just overlooked it. I thought the little one would survive." He later admitted to feeling guilty for letting the baby die. Their surviving twin, Alexander, is taken upstairs at 15 months old and discovered in a circumstance similar to those of his two sisters.
Which is pretty much left in a box or something like that.
Pretty much.
Now I'm getting a little suspicious too. Like, if I was the wife, I'm just like, why the fuck are people leaving their babies on our doorstep? It's not
babies. They are left with notes stating that it's Elizabeth's babies.
Oh,
like she drops them off during the middle of the night. So
specifically
that way
her babies.
Yes, exactly. So that way they're her babies and they're like, oh yeah, take care of them because I'm too busy running off in a religious cult or something like that. So the babies can't stay with her type of thing.
So was it like every other baby? He'd be like, yeah, he could come upstairs.
No, for the first two, he didn't. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the three after that, he brought up. Yeah. December 16th, 2002, Felix is born. And according to a statement by Fritzl, he kept Felix in the cellar with Elizabeth and her two eldest children because his wife could no longer look after any more children.
Of course.
So, it's like, hey, she's getting too old. Maybe the babies are too much. You know, let's have her raise my children that are actually her grandbabies, and yet...
They're her grandbabies, but his children.
Exactly.
So. I'm still, like, irked to the part where she's not, like, that's how I feel right now. She has one piece of the puzzle and the other piece. It's like, why does my, like, missing daughter constantly keep dropping off all these babies?
And the husband
And plus,
is
you
not...
still have how many other kids? Like, wasn't it, like...
They had seven.
Six but, other fucking kids?
But you also have to think those kids are probably adult by now. So they probably either
but
one moved
then,
out.
Wouldn't
yeah.
one of the six of them be like, what the fuck, you know? Like...
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So with one child dead shortly after birth and three, Lisa, Monica, and Alexander were removed from the cellar as infants to live with Fritzl and his wife, who were approved by local social service authorities as their foster parents. Elizabeth was allowed to keep Kirsten, Stefan, and Felix in the cellar under the house. Officials said that Fritzl very pleasantly explained how three of his infant grandchildren had appeared on his... just appeared on his doorsteps. The family received regular visits from social workers who saw and heard nothing to arouse their suspicions. So, and the kids were kept and fed and taken care of very well. They even got a full education and everything.
Don't they usually do like a whole house?
You'll find out.
You're gonna find out.
You'll find out.
Yes.
Okay.
So following the fourth child's birth in 1994, Fritzl allowed the enlargement of the prison from 380 square feet to 590 square feet, putting Elizabeth and her children to work for years digging out soil with their bare hands. The captives had a television, a radio, and video cassette player. Food could be stored in a refrigerator and cooked or heated on hot plates. Elizabeth taught the children to read and write. At times, Fritzl shut off their lights or refused to deliver food for days at times to punish them. That's another picture of her. I do believe she was 18 on that one. So Fritzl told Elizabeth and the three children to remain, who remained Christian, Stefan, and Felix, that they, if they had touched the doors to go outside, it would give them an electric shock and trigger a poisonous gas that would kill them if they tried to escape.
Well, that was all fake, right?
Yeah, it was. Investigators concluded that this was just an empty threat to frighten the captives. There was no gas supplied to the basement. He stated after his arrest that he told them that they would receive an electric shock and die if they meddled with the cellar door. Elizabeth...
Jeez. It's kind of like you're in this shitty situation where you're like, fuck, that's better. And then you go to, like, test the doorknob.
Nothing happens.
It's just like,
Right? Bring the gas! I don't know. Right. So Elizabeth once stated that the summer times were the worst when the place would turn into an
I don't know what would be more disappointing.
A sauna.
I really don't know what would have been more disappointing, like if it actually did or if like you tried it to in order to kill yourself and then realize nothing's happening and you're just like, I'm kind of disappointed.
Magic. Yeah. That's right. I can't die. I'm immune. Yeah. So yeah, during the summers, it was the worst because it would become like a sweaty sauna. There was no ventilation in there whatsoever, so it would always get hot. So according to Fritzl's sister-in-law, Christine, he went into the basement every morning at 9 a.m. And it was to draw plans for his machines, which he sold to firms. Mm. And because he was really good at what he didn't need that long of a time, but he said he would. And he would finish his plans, finish his work, just so he can have time with Elizabeth. And often he stayed there for nights and did not allow his wife to bring him coffee. A tenant who rented a ground floor room in the house for 12 years claimed to hear noises from the basement, which Fritzl explained were from the faulty pipes or the gas heating system.
Oh, hell no. I would check.
You mean that gas that was never applied to the house?
Well,
or to the door?
Not the poisonous gas. This was just like gas just for the gas. House. Yes. Yeah. So people heard stuff, but they were just like, oh, this house is so old. It's just a faulty system.
I would have been like, you know what? The house is fucking haunted. You should probably move out.
I know, right? So, let's talk about the discovery. So, on April 19th, 2008, Fritzl agreed to seek medical attention for Kirsten, the eldest daughter, who fell unconscious. Elizabeth helped him carry Kirsten out of the chamber and saw the outside world for the first time in 24 years.
Wow.
Fritzl forced her to return to the chamber, where she remained in for a final week. Kirsten was taken by ambulance to a local hospital... and was admitted in serious condition with life-threatening kidney failure. Fritzl later arrived at the hospital, claiming to have found a note written by Kirsten's mother. He discussed Kirsten's condition and the note with Dr. Albert Riddle. So medical staff found aspect of Fritzl's story puzzling and alerted the police on April 21st, who then broadcasted an appeal via public media for the missing mother to come forward and provide additional information of Kirsten's medical history. The police were reopened the case file on Elizabeth's disappearance. Fritzl repeated his story about Elizabeth being in a cult and presented what he claimed was the most recent letter from her, dated January 2008, posted from the town of Kimenton. The police contacted Manford Wolfert, a church official and expert on cults, who raised doubts about his existence of this group that Fritzl described. He noted that Elizabeth's letter seemed direct and oddly written. So it took a fucking church official to realize that this stuff looks fishy.
You mean the church actually did something good for once?
Weren't they asking the church official because of the cults?
Yeah, they wanted to get information about the cult. About cults via cult. This guy to finally be like, hey, have you guys not noticed the inconsistencies and the weirdness of these letters? Like, Elizabeth pleaded with Fritzl to be taken to the hospital on April 26th. During the evening, he released her from her cellar along with her sons, Stefan and Felix, bringing them upstairs. Felix informed his wife that Elizabeth had decided to come home after 24 years of absence. Elizabeth was now 42 years old.
Damn.
Yes. How old was the mom?
I don't know how old the mom was.
Too old to take care of more babies.
I know, right? If you have to think, if she's 42.
Like average. Just put it this way. I'm going to put it, the mom was at least 20 years old, 22 years old when they had the first child. So I'm going to assume.
She was 17 when they were married.
Okay, so then I would assume 17 to 18 years old.
Because she's 10 years younger than him.
You'd be 27 if that was the case.
I'll get there. Yes. Let's not do math. I don't do math.
Nearly
very well.
30 years older than her. Or yes. 30, nearly 30 years old.
24 years.
24 years on top of the 28 or 48?
48.
24 years.
50 something?
That's 56. Yes. 52. Sorry. 52. Wait. Because so 48, 48 plus 24. 48 plus 24 is 52.
That's no, not no. right. That
it's 72. Like, that's 72.
No. She's only 48. 24.
That's 72.
At least the 20 gets you to 60. So 70. Yeah, 72.
Okay, yeah. There you
72.
Go. I was like, I did fingers.
So, yes. Damn. The mom is old. She and so.
She was like legit grandma. Like,
yeah. Yep.
So Elizabeth is now 42. He and Elizabeth went to the hospital where Kirsten was being treated. Following a tip off from the doctor, Joseph and Elizabeth were at the hospital. The police detained them on the hospital grounds and took them to the police station for questioning. It was not known how long Joseph Fritzl intended to keep his daughter captive in the basement. He had gotten away with it for over 24 years, and for all the police knew, he was going to continue for another 24 years.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
People wondered, even if he passed away, would he have told anyone or simply let those who were in the basement die, eventually running out of rations?
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, you had a good run. Oh, and those are the three kids. The upstairs kids?
The upstairs kids. Yeah.
I was about to say, the boy has the father's eyes.
Joe! Those are the three kids.
You know, I just thought about it.
So, like, none of the kids also were just like, I'm going to go pay down in the creepy basement?
You know
who? No, no one was allowed in the basement.
I'm sorry, but I feel like I'd be that one kid that's like... Dad said not to go play down there. I'm gonna go play down there.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna tell you about the cellar, and you're gonna find out. You're gonna learn some things about.
You're
the
gonna
cellar
learn
right now.
Why.
Why nobody?
Yes. So Elizabeth did not provide police with more detail until they promised her that she would never see her father again. Over the next 2 hours, she told the story of her 24-year in captivity. Elizabeth told the police that Fritzl raped her and forced her to watch pornographic videos, which he made her reenact with him in front of the children in order to humiliate her. Shortly after midnight, police officers completed the interview. Fritzl, aged 73, was arrested on April 26, 2008, on suspicion of serious crimes against family members.
Wow.
During the night of April 27, 2008, Elizabeth, her children, and her mother, Rosemary, were taken into care. Police said that Fritzl told investigators how to enter the basement chamber through a hidden, small hidden door, mm-hmm. opened by a secret keyless entry code. Elizabeth had been unaware of what had been happening to Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
On April 29th, 2008, it was announced that DNA evidence confirmed Fritzl as the biological father of his daughter's children. His defense lawyer, Rudolf Mayer, said that although the DNA test provided incest, evidence were still needed for the alleged rapes of and enslavement.
Yeah, because the kids weren't fucking proof enough.
Yes. So Fritzl denied enslavement. He later stating that Fritzl decided to imprison his daughter was to force her on the right path to make her submit to his every whim as an act as of a devoted father. Elizabeth was a wayward child and he was only trying to protect her from locking her away from the outside world. Drugs, drinks, and bad company had threatened to drag her down, he argued. And maybe,
gee, I think drugs and drink would probably...
11 years old. That's what... So angry.
In the May 1st Daily Press conference, Austrian parents said that Fritzl had forced Elizabeth to write a letter that previous year indicating that he may have been planning to release her and the children. The letter said that she wanted to come home but is not possible yet. Police believe Fritzl was planning to pretend to have rescued his daughter from the cult. This fictitious cult. So I actually have pictures of the cell.
Cool. I was actually about to ask you. I was like, please tell me you have pictures.
So here's a little sugar cube. By the way, we need to make the little sugar cube picture.
Hey, remember that whole contractor bit? That's how we knew how to make it.
We're getting there.
Oh, I thought we already touched down on that.
I'm just getting started on the cell right now.
Oh, get started on the cell.
I didn't hear anything.
Good. Sugar Cube. Fritzl had been planning and building his dungeon for years, receiving official permission to construct to construct his cellar complex as far back as the late 1970s. From 1981 to 1982, Fritzl started and eventually finished the cell for Elizabeth. So he had planned on capturing and kidnapping her and doing all this to her since the 1970s.
Premeditated.
Wow. Yeah. When she was, I think, 11 years old.
That's when he started, didn't he?
He started abusing her. But then he's like, you know, I'm not going to ever let her go. So I'm going to start building this cell. This little cell.
So when she was 11.
Yeah. And the government had official plans and records of all this stuff.
And no one decided to ask, why are you building the cellar?
I'm going to get into that right now.
Oh.
So okay. It was not difficult.
Would you ever build a cellar?
I would.
Would you build a cellar, Joe?
Yeah.
I would build a cellar, but it had to be, like, super lit. Like, I'd have to have hella lights because I'd be paranoid that, like, all the lights go dark and you're just, like, in this cellar. Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to think about it.
That's where all the scary stuff happens. Yeah. So, it was difficult. It was not difficult to get officials to approve underground construction. It was in the height of the Cold War, and this was Lower Austria, which, during this day, was not unheard of. So, nuclear bunkers were seen as an even more normal and necessary addition to the Austrian home when a kitchen... It was more common than a kitchen expansion. So, or any other home improvement. The local council had even given him a grant of a couple £1,000 toward his building cost.
Wow.
He had hired diggers, electricians, and many others to help complete his soon-to-be dungeon. So he was actually given help from the government to build this place.
Wow.
Because they thought he was building like a bomb shelter.
A bomb shelter, yeah.
Which was normal during that time with all the wars and everything going on there. It was actually quite known to have a...
That and nuclear war?
Yeah. It was quite known to have a hidden area where it was so hidden that if someone were to try and raid your house, it's like a safe place for them. And they would hide there. So this was normal, so they never really thought anything of it. And he told them that he would use it as a storage from then on unless they needed it.
You wonder if, like, the Gumrashal was like, well, we're going to have, like, monthly checks just to check if we're not doing, like, anything, like, illegal.
You mean, like, you know, hiding your... Or kidnapping and hiding your child in there? I don't know if they have...
No, here's some money just to build your creepy fucking sex dungeon.
That's not like they knew he was using it for a sex dungeon. So the Fritzl properly... The Fritzl's property in Austin is a building dated to around the 1890s. So that's how old it was. It was made in the 1890s. This is a fucking old building. So no wonder it was like everything creaked in there. A new building was added in 1978 when Fritzl applied for a building permit for the extension in the basement.
Could you imagine, like, if they moved and you moved in there and you find, like... find this place?
You find everything in there? Yeah, so,
fuck no.
In 1983, the building inspector visited the site and verified that the new expansion had been built according to the dimensions specified on the permit. Around 1981 to 1982, according to his statement, Fritzl started to turn his hidden cellar into a prison cell and installed a wash bin, toilet, bed, hot plate, and refrigerator. He could later add he would bring Christmas trees down every year along with school books, an aquarium, and even a canary.
Wow.
This is an actual picture of the layout of the place. Whenever I went to the bunker, I would bring my daughter flowers and cuddly toys as well as books for the children. I would watch an adventure film or video with them while Elizabeth would prepare our favorite food, and when we would all sit at the kitchen table and eat together. Those were his exact words. He thought it was like another family for him, pretty much. In 1983, he added more space by creating a passageway to a pre-existing basement or area under the old part of the property, of which only he knew of. The concealed cellar had a 16-foot-long corridor, a storage area, three small open cells connected by a narrow passageway, a basic cooking area, bathroom facilities, followed by two sleeping areas, which were equipped with two beds each. It covered an area of a square foot of 590 square feet. The cellar had two access points, a hinge door that weighed about 1,000 pounds, which he thought had been unusable over the years because of its weight, and a metal door reinforced with concrete, a steel rails that weighed about 650 pounds and measured about 3 feet high and three feet wide. It was located behind Fritzl's basement workshop, protected by an electric code enter using a remote control unit. In order to reach the door, five locking basement rooms had to be crossed. So he had locks everywhere, obviously, as you can hear. And he's the only one who knew the codes. So even if they weren't able to, like, touch the door, to open it would have been impossible, pretty much. To get to the area where Elizabeth and her children were held, 8 doors in total needed to be unlocked, in which 2 doors were additionally secured by electric locking devices. So.
Wow.
Yep. He made it.
I was just picturing one goddamn door, and apparently, no, it's a fucking armed fortress.
It was hidden behind basically one of those, like, bookcases. You opened it, put in a code, opened another one, unlocked shit, opened another one. Yeah.
Is that how you want your...
No, right, just to get into my room. So we're going to do a little bit of a psychological assessment on this guy, because it was actually all over the place of his mindset. It was kind of cool, actually, how he thought things. Not cool in a good way, but cool as in, like,
a creepy, I'm going to rape my daughter type vibe.
Like, a more of a fascination, how he thought and saw the world, how he thought and saw his daughter, and how he thought the situation. So after his arrest, Fritzl claimed that his behavior toward his daughter did not consent, or
he didn't view it as anything.
He did not see it as rape, but was consensual. His lawyer actually forwarded tapes of him and his client to a newspaper for publication. According to these statements, Fritzl said he always knew during the whole 24 years that what he was doing was not right, but it must have been crazy to do such a thing. Yet it became a normal occurrence to lead a second life in the basement of my house. So he kind of had a conscious knowing that it wasn't right, but he said it felt right. Joe.
Right.
So regarding his treatment of his family he had with his wife, Fritzl stated, "I am not the beast the media makes me to be." Regarding his treatment of Elizabeth and her children in the cellar, he explained that he brought flowers for Elizabeth, books and toys for her children into the bunker, as he called it, and often watched videos with the children, ate meals with Elizabeth and the children. Fritzl decided to imprison Elizabeth after she did not apprehend to any rules anymore. And when, those are actual pictures of the place. You can take it if you want to. Pass it around and show and tell.
Dude, these hallways are, like, fucking super tiny.
Think tiny. Yep. Think thin. Just think thin. And she became a teenager. This is why I had to do something. I had to create a place where I could keep Elizabeth, my Elizabeth, by forcing her, if necessary, away from the outside world. He suggested that the emphasis on discipline in the Nazi area during which he grew up might have influenced his view about decency and good behavior. The chief editor of news magazines noted in their edition that they expected Fritzl's statements to form the basis of a defense strategy for his lawyer. Critics said his statement may have been a ploy to prepare an insanity defense. So that's what the team was trying to go for. Reflecting on his childhood, Fritzl initially described his mother as the best woman in the world and as strict as it was necessary. Later, he expressed a negative opinion of his mother and claimed that she used to beat me, hit me until I was laying in a pool of blood on the floor. It left me feeling totally humiliated and weak. My mother was a servant and she used to work hard all her life and I never had a kiss from her. I was never cuddled, although I wanted it. I wanted her to be good to me. He also claimed that she called him a Satan, age criminal, and a no good, and that he had horrible fear of her. In 1959, after Fritzl had married and bought his house, his mother moved in with them. Over time, the role reversed, and the mother came to fear him. Eventually, he also admitted he had later locked his mother in the attic and bricked up her window after telling neighbors that she had died, and kept her locked up until her death of 1980.
Wow, he killed her.
No, he didn't kill her. She died.
But she was, like,
but he kept her. He was, like, the child, like, the people in the attic. She just kept her up there and would slide food up there until she eventually passed away.
So. I'm just going to blockade everyone.
Gee, this is like not them. A pattern. He did it to his grandmother. Let's do it to his daughter, too.
You mean his mother?
So if
His
mom. Did it to his mom or his grandma?
His mom. Sorry.
If he did it to his mom, why didn't authorities like put his ass in jail before?
Because he was able to play it off.
It wasn't plus his records got expunged.
I thought
who's paying attention. Point to yell.
I was paying attention to that too, but I thought that was like primarily for like the sexual assault or just like assault in general.
I don't even know what he said, but it sounds like that.
So it is unknown how long Fritzl kept his mother locked in his attic, but newspaper has speculated that it may have been up for 20 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
So you imagine being a little old lady and you're like, I'm happy here, I'm still alive.
I know. Give me more food. My bedpan needs to be changed.
Oh my gosh.
In one report, Fritzl's mother is described as unpredictable and abusive. Fritzl referred to himself as an alibi child, meaning that his mother only gave birth to him to prove that she was not barren and could produce children. Fritzl claimed that his biological behavior is...
So he believes himself that it's nurture, not nature.
Kind of a bit of both. Because it says here he claimed that his pathological behavior was something... Yeah, something he grew into. Yeah. And his... Because the way his dad... How his dad left him and everything and how his dad... was basically not there. He's all like, I grew up in a very broken house. I'm pretty sure since... I wanted
to be there and be more than there for my daughter.
Oh! So gross. The way you stared at me when you said that was a little creepy, too. Be there for your daughter. So he admits that he planned to lock his daughter up during his prison stint.
Leave him alone.
And for the early rape conviction so that he could contain and express his evil side. He said, I was born to rape and I held myself back for a long time. I could have behaved a lot worse than locking my daughter up. Fritzl was diagnosed as having a severe severe personality disorder, which included borderline schizophrenia and schizoid personalities and a sexual disorder, and recommended that Fritzl receive psychological care for the rest of his life. Fritzl confirmed that he had premeditated plans to lock his daughter up for not disciplinary, but for his own gratification. So during his confession, Capes, instead of saying, you know, I did this because I wanted to save her, he said, I did it because I wanted to keep her. I wanted to use my urges to want to rape and to hurt people on her instead. So she did a favor for the world, in other words. So
otherwise, how many other women he would have...
I mean, he had already gone after two.
Yeah.
And then he started doing it to his daughter.
Who knows? He would have probably been that version, that version.
Austrian version of Ted Bundy.
Not so much Ted Bundy, but the East Area Rapist kind of.
Oh, like, yeah, that too. Which has been caught, but that's a different case.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the trial of Joseph Fritzl. So, in keeping with the agreement that she would never have to see her father again, Elizabeth Fritzl gave videotape testimony before Australian prosecutors.
Australian or Austrian?
Austrian, thank you. Austrian prosecutor and investigators on July 11th, 2008.
Of what month?
July.
Oh, okay. Just
on November 13th, 2008, authorities in Austria released an indictment against Joseph Fritzl. He would stand trial for the murder of the infant child Michael, who died shortly after birth and faced between 10 years and life imprisonment. He was also charged with rape, incest, kidnapping, false imprisonment, and slavery, which carries a maximum of 20 years. Trial of Joseph Fritzl committed on April 16th, 2009.
2009.
Yes, presided by Judge Adrian Hummer.
Hummer.
Hummer?
Yes. Hummer.
Ooh.
Hummer?
Hummer.
Hummer. He tried.
One day, Fritzl entered the courtroom attempting to hide his face from cameras behind a blue folder, which he was entitled to do under Austrian law. After opening comments, all journalists and speculators were asked to leave the courtroom, whereupon Fritzl lowered his binder. Fritzl pleaded guilty to all charges with the exception of murder and assault by threatening the gas thing. So if they did, yeah, threatening to kill him with gas if they disobeyed him.
And electrocution.
Pretty much. In his opening remarks, the defending counsel appealed to the jury to be objective and not to be swayed by emotion. He insisted Fritzl was not a monster, stating that Fritzl had bought a Christmas tree down to his captives in the... Yeah, they even said, like, oh, the only reason why he brought the canary down there actually was to monitor the oxygen level down there.
Oh, my God.
Because they're like, hey, if the bird can live down there with this really bad oxygen,
that's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. I was just like, the canary was, like, originally supposed to be meant to go into an area that may be filled with poisonous gases.
Yeah. Or may have bad oxygen levels because of the canary. Yeah, so...
Which is why... Okay, never mind.
That's that was a little sugar cue. I didn't add that on here, but it was something I did read. They were like, the only reason why he brought the canary down there was so he could monitor the oxygen levels because that There was no ventilation in there whatsoever. So, and it was reported that all of the kids and her herself had really bad health condition, and the point that their lungs looked like they were smokers for their whole life because of how bad the ventilation and everything was.
Yeah, because that's a whole lot of carbon dioxide that they're rebreathing in.
Pretty much.
The fact that they didn't suffocate is actually kind of interesting.
I guess like the small moments when he would open the door and the air would just like clear out kind of helped, I'm assuming.
Could you imagine the smell too in there?
It was bad. Oh, it was bad. It was really, like, the conditions down there were just horrid.
Like, I'm thinking of times where, if you've ever done that whole paper bag breathing into the thing for, like, calming yourself down.
Yeah.
And you get all that vapor and stuff like that. It's just, like, it had to have been moist down there. I had to say it at least once today.
You mean all the mold?
Yeah. Gee, oh, my God.
So, the prosecuting team pressed for life imprisonment in an institution for the criminally insane. She demonstrated for jurors that the low height of the ceiling in the cellar dungeon by marking. So this is what they were. This is actually pretty sad. So they actually did in the courtroom the measurements and even how high it was. So their eldest son, Stefan, was 5'10", and the ceiling itself was only 5'8".
Wow.
So you had to think, and he has severe back problems, and his head is like almost tilted to the side permanently because of that's how he grew up,
mm-hmm.
having to always tilt and that's always like scrunch over and stuff like that. So he has really bad back problems.
That's like getting like sclerosis, like to like the extreme.
Right. That's not even born with sclerosis. That's just him like having it because he can't stand straight in that area. So they actually went and they actually did heights and measurements and put it up there for everyone to see. How tall it was, how big it was, how everything it was, and how the kids, this is how tall the kids are, and this is how much space they did not have. So,
like a reenactment of everything.
Yeah, basically. And so they, in the courtroom itself, they did like a small, well, this is how the place was, because they described the cellar as damp and moldy, passing around a box of musty items that actually came from the cellar and the odor which made jurors flinch. Wow. So they actually bought...
Like, I imagine it smelling like bad breath times 10 like that.
I was going to say something probably, but I'm not going to.
But in one of the pictures, they had a shower. They had like a little bathtub.
Yeah, but imagine them taking a shower.
In
but
that
where,
little space.
That's
that
true.
Little
so
space.
No ventilation.
Where is that moisture going?
Yeah,
where is
true.
All that going? Like, at least here you can open the door and get some sort of air.
Could you imagine being nose blind to that too and just being like, I don't smell nothing.
Just like your nose getting used to it to try to survive.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
So on the first day of testimony, juries watched 11 hours of testimony. Elizabeth is in sessions with police and psychologists in July 2008. The tape is said to have been so harrowing that 8 jurors did not watch more than 2 hours at a time.
Ouch.
So 4 replacement jurors were on standby to replace any of the regular jurors in case they could not bear or hear any more of the evidence. Besides the video testimony, Elizabeth's older brother, Harold, testified that he said that they were all physically abused by Joseph as a child, and did a doctor evaluated by psychiatrists, and the psychiatrist...
Oh, so psychiatrist, not doctor.
Yeah. Well, psychiatrists are doctors.
Your line is the psychiatrist. Go. Cue your line.
So basically, they're saying that the psychiatrist did like.
You have to say it.
An evaluation.
You have to say it slowly. Psychiatrist.
Okay. So basically, they said the psychiatrist did an evaluation. Joe, really?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, the psychiatrist did a evaluation of the kids, the wife, and everyone, and realized that the children were so scared. That's why most of them didn't want to testify against the father. So, on March 18th, 2009, Elizabeth Fritzl attended the second day of the criminal trial against her father, Joseph.
So she had to see him?
She wanted to. She didn't want to face him, but she figured she was safe enough that she could go there. And she did try going in disguise, but he was able to pick her up.
He's like, my Elizabeth.
Yeah. So, on March 18th, 2009, Elizabeth Fritzl attended the second day of the criminal trial against her father, Joseph, in preparation for a book she is to write about her ordeal. She did not plan to see her father again. Fritzl's attorney confirmed that she had been... Mm-hmm. So she did not plan to see her father again. Fritzl's attorney confirmed that she had been in the visitor's testimony was aired. Joseph Fritzl recognized Elizabeth was in the court, and from this point on, you could see Joseph Fritzl going pale, and he just broke down. It was a meeting of eyes that changed his mind. The very next day, Fritzl began the proceedings by approaching the judge and claiming changing his plea to guilty of all charges.
Wow.
Yeah. So after seeing her, he just lost it and was just like, I'm guilty of everything. Just fucking arrest me. He's like, I'm done.
Well, at least he had like a moral change.
Yeah, he had a complete change. Like the
Well, you also have to consider the fact that a lot of like psych doctors had said that he had a problem.
Yeah.
Where he himself like had admitted.
He admitted. He knew he had issues and he had problems. And he was just like, I just, instead of saving other people from going through this, he decided to use his daughter as a scapegoat.
As an outlet. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was unfortunate, but you know, because I don't really want to think it this way, but if you think of it this way, maybe if he had raped or done this to another person, maybe he would have been caught and actually put away for good. Versus imprisoning her for 24 years, forcing her to father his children,
and having one of them pass away. Was it one or two?
One.
That's right. The second one, yeah. They had to take to the hospital because she had kidney failure. Right.
Technically, if you want to be technical, two died because she miscarried. But if you want to be technical about it, two. But if not, it was just one that was physically born and died.
And the one that was miscarried was the very first one, right?
Yeah. That's okay. On March 19th, 2009, after a 4-day trial and just days before his 74th birthday, Fritzl pleaded guilty to the charges of murder and neglect from his infant son and grandson, Michael, as well as the decades of enslavement, incest, rape, coercion, and false imprisonment. Fritzl was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for 15 years.
Without?
No. Without the possibility of parole. He had to serve at least 15 years.
So after 15 years,
he could try to ask get for parole.
Yes.
Why? Why do they do this? Why? Right? I was like, what's the point of being sentenced to fucking life? And you're like, but if you're
rage
okay.
Rage with me, Ellie. Rage with me.
If you're okay, you can get out in 15, though.
Yes.
Because, you know, what is it, 15 years? We expunge everything you fucking do anyway. Yeah.
Not just expunge, but it's like we feel you being in prison long enough will have changed you into a different man. But you're waiting for it? Wait for it? I have something you want to hear, okay?
It's going to make you roar.
No, it's not.
I'm just glad I peed.
So Fritzl was sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole for 15 years. But he said that he would accept the sentence and would not appeal.
Wow.
Yeah. He accepted it. And he was just like, I deserve this. He's 74. Mm-hmm. How old will he be 15 years later?
Almost 90.
Yes. So you have to think. Even maybe he did it for self-conscious reasons. Maybe he's like, you know, I'm going to be a 90 fucking year old person. Why would I want to leave prison anyways when I'm going to, you know, I'm going to need assistance or something. Mm-hmm. So maybe.
You're going to need that help pooping.
Maybe he did it because he actually genuinely felt bad. Or maybe he thought, in 90 years, at least they'll be taking care of me, you know, when I'm in my 90s. You
get three square meals a day.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's what I thought of it because I'm like, hey, this guy's just evil. You really think he actually maybe he's thinking of her? I don't know. In my personal opinion, I just think he knows he's going to be an old fart at the time. What is waiting for him to get out?
Yeah.
So.
Could you imagine if the human lifespan was a lot longer than, say, a century?
If someone lived until like 200-300 years old, like
would the punishments be longer?
Maybe.
Because I'm thinking about, like, ever since I was a kid, I would always think about it.
What if they were sentencing a vampire? You're just gonna be like, okay, I can wait this up.
Yeah. as a kid, that I would always hear, he has to serve 3 life sentences. I was like, that guy's not gonna outlive that. And it's like,
what was the case where I was like, so he has to die and then serve another 3 times?
Yeah, and it's just like, do they have like this cell where they put a spirit in there and it like serves like in life and purgatory in there, and then from there it like gets thrown to the pit of hell or whatever?
Do you ever feel like maybe like those like the execution chambers like have their spirits and they're just stuck there?
Probably. I think so. Vengeful I think like spirits. I could just imagine going to like an execution room where there's been people who's been killed.
Who wants to go that way? You know, it's like they have to have like some type of regret.
Of course, it's vengeful spirits because they were forced to leave when they were not ready.
Yeah.
So So yeah, and you also think he's 74 years old. This case was in 2009. If he had the chance of parole after 15 years, he's already served 10 years.
Yeah.
In 5 years.
I don't like the fact that you say he's already served, thus meaning he's still kicking.
Yeah.
He's still kicking?
Maybe.
She's getting
your smile that. Gives it away.
That will her response.
He is, actually. Yeah, the last stretch. So, yeah, he's accepted and will not appeal. Fritzl is currently serving life in sentence. Is currently serving out his sentence in Gunston Abbey, a former monastery in Upper Austria that has been converted into a prison. You know. Anyways, so aftermath. Judge Andre Hummer, who presided over the trial, stated.
Did you say Hummer at first?
She did say Hummer at first.
Stated medical expert reported Elizabeth and her children were actually in pretty good health. So after being taken into care, Elizabeth, all six of her surviving children, and her mother were housed in a local clinic where they were shielded from the outside environment and received medical and psychological treatment.
Could you imagine being those kids and then like seeing actual daylight for once in your entire life?
And guess how old these kids were? Like they were in their 20s.
Well, I was about to say, wasn't the oldest one about in their early 20s?
Same age as you.
Yeah.
Okay. The one that I was.
So how
like...
old were you in 2008?
2008. Fuck, that was 11 years ago?
Yeah.
11 minus 31, I was 20 years old.
Yeah. So
imagine
coming
out. Able to like stand up straight for the first time?
Right?
Oh, jeez.
I'd be like,
I feel sorry for that kid.
Yeah, my neck isn't freaking hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes. So
he needs that inversion table to line his spine, you know, just like turn upside
down.
They
had a lot. So after being taken into care, Elizabeth and all six of her surviving children and her mother were housed in a local clinic where they were shielded from the outside. Members of the Fritzl's family were offered a new identity, but it was emphasized that it was their choice to make.
Keplinger?
Berthold Keplinger, head of the clinic where Elizabeth and her children were being treated, said that Elizabeth and the three children held in captive in the cellar required further therapy to help them adjust to the light after years in semi-darkness.
Somebody really needs to poop.
Yeah. They also needed treatment to help them cope with the extra space they had now had in which to move around and about. So they were not used to the light. They were actually very pale. The light hurt them a lot. And
were they albinos?
They were not albinos. Oh, you're born.
I still think of like the flowers in the attic on this instead of like in the attic, it's in the thing. But they actually got exposed to sunlight.
Yeah, these people did not.
Yeah.
So in May 2008, a handmade poster created by Elizabeth, her children, and her mother at the therapy facility was displayed in the Austrian town center. The message thanked local police for their support. We, the whole family, would like to take the opportunity to thank you all for your sympathy at our fate. They wrote in their message, your compassion is helping us greatly to overcome these difficult times, and it shows us there also are good and honest people who would really care for us. We hope that soon there will be a time where we can find our way back to normal life. Actually, they actually have pictures of this, so I don't know why I didn't grab one. They have a picture of their handwritten, and it's really nice handwriting. Kirsten was reunited with her family on June 8th, 2008, when she was awakened from her artificial induced coma, so she had a full recovery from her kidneys. So she didn't die, nothing happened to her.
Yay.
Yeah. It was revealed that Elizabeth and her children were more traumatized than previously thought. During captivity, Kirsten tore out her hairs in clumps and was reported to have shredded her dress before stuffing them into the toilet. Stefan could not walk properly because his height was of 5'10", and he was forced him to have to stoop down because of the cellar. It was also been revealed that the normal everyday occurrences, such as dimming lights or the closing of doors, plagued Kirsten and Stefan into anxiety and panic attacks. So being in enclosed rooms really made them panic.
Mm-hmm. It's like a whole PTSD type thing.
Oh, God, yeah. The other three children, Elizabeth's children, who were raised by their father, were being treated for anger and resentment of the events.
Wow.
So they were under the impression that the mom just threw them away. They were too young to realize what was actually happening. And for the longest time, the kids upstairs hated the kids downstairs because they got to spend more time with the mom. And yet the kids downstairs hated the kids upstairs because they were like, you guys had fucking freedom. Look what we had to go through. So
you guys had sunlight. We had
to watch mom get freaking
raped and stuff like that, right? Over again. So it's like you guys are mad because mom wasn't around, yet you didn't know downstairs all the shit that was happening to her. So yeah, there was a lot of fighting, and it took a lot of therapy and like help to get the family back together again. So in late July,
I couldn't imagine that type of fight with my siblings. I'd be like, "Are you fucking kidding?"
It's like fighting with like new kids on the block.
It's to me, I think,
because they didn't know that the other had existed until that point, and it's just like it's like going to a new school for the first time.
I'm sorry, but it was
all these kids.
I don't know. I really can't say anything about it because you know it's not something that I've gone to. But if I was the kid on top, or the kids on the upstairs. I would not be mad. I would have like complete compassion and empathy for the ones that were downstairs and all the shit that they had to go through and find out. Yeah. My mom left me. Okay. I would be mad. But then to find out the truth that what my grandfather,
mom didn't leave you.
No, exactly. Like, and when you find
mom
out
was the, under your feet the whole right? time.
And when you find out the truth, I think you would not be angry. I think I would just be more like, holy fuck, what can I do to help you type of thing.
But you have to realize they were all how old when they...
They were kids. They were all kids. Yeah. So, yeah. So, in July 2008, it emerged that Elizabeth ordered her mother, Rosemary, out of the villa that they had been sharing in a secret location that was set up for them. So, the mom was living with them. But Elizabeth had such resentment for her mom because not just during their upbringing. She's like, you knew dad would abuse us. Why weren't you doing anything? She's like, why didn't you do more to try and find out that I was stuck underneath in the basement this whole entire time? Like, she was basically mad that her mom was so subservient to the guy. So they were always constantly fighting until the point that she was like, I can't be with her anymore. So it was reported the family finally feels normal. They spend their time answering hundreds of letters from all over the world. Felix, Kirsten, and Stefan brought up underground with their mother, they both learned to swim, and that's actually one of their favorite things to do is their pastime is swimming. All of Elizabeth's children.
Well, yeah, I could imagine that would be your favorite thing to do. You're outside, and it also makes you feel like weightless compared to being in like.
But not only that, but it's dark, like
small, cramped.
Yeah. So they were also able to attend a 4-day summer camping trip to kind of help them like reunite more as a family. The children along with their mother also have made many day trips, including swimming outings, which is their favorite pastime, in which care was taken to keep them out of the reach of the paparazzi and to protect their privacy. So they're quite, people are always really trying to take pictures of them, and there are really no clear pictures of them to this day.
So it's kind of like Bigfoot.
Yeah,
they're all like shadowed and silhouetted, kind of like in that people. Same stupid like running
you also
motion.
Have to think, how old was the youngest child?
Yeah.
And so in March 2009, Elizabeth and her children were forced to move out of the family's hideaway home and return to psychiatric care when medical staff had started trying to heal the upstairs and the downstairs siblings during the previous year. So they just kept fighting, and it got so serious they had to be admitted to a psychiatric care. So Elizabeth was reported to be distraught and close to a breakdown after British paparazzis had bursted into their kitchen and started taking photographs. So
they're not allowed to do that.
They're not supposed to, but they did. So they're just like pictures, pictures, pictures. And it was like an invasion of privacy. They got in trouble for it big time. Oh, yeah. But after the trial, Elizabeth and her 6 kids were moved to an unnamed village north of Austria where they are living in a fortress like house. All the children require ongoing therapy. Factors that traumatized the upstairs children, including learning that Joseph had lied to them and that he's not their grandfather, but actually their father. The feeling of their mother abandoning them, the abuse they received from him during his childhood because he was still an asshole, and finding out their siblings had been imprisoned in the cellar. The downstairs children received therapy due to their deprivation from normal development, the lack of fresh air, sunshine while living confined in a basement, the abuse that they had, their mother had received from Joseph when he visited them in the basement. All of the children might have genetic problems common to children born of incest relationships. Elizabeth is said to be estranged from her mother, who accepts Joseph's stories that Elizabeth allowed her 3 children to grow up in Joseph and Rosemary's house and visit their grandmother regularly. So the upstairs kids still visit her, but the downstairs kids don't. So, and then the upstairs kids apparently have resentment from being taken away from their grandmother and not being able to spend enough time with her because, you know, they grew up with her. So, but it's reported that Rosemary lives alone in a small apartment. In an article released in March 2010, it is said Elizabeth and her children recovered remarkably well, given the difficult living they had to endure. According to Joseph's sister-in-law, Christine, Elizabeth enjoys spending her time shopping. She frequently, they take frequent showers, and she enjoys driving. She has passed her driving test without difficulty. Her relationship with Thomas, one of her bodyguards, is reported to be ongoing. So she's supposedly in a relationship. And the kids kind of see him as a big brother figure. So all of Elizabeth's children had developed normal sibling relationships with each other now, and after having troubles dealing with traumatic events, the three upstairs children slowly began recognizing Elizabeth as their mother. The children enjoy being outdoors, playing video games, and spending time with their mother, and grandmother Rosemary has started visiting them more often, and Elizabeth has reportedly forgiven her mother for believing her father's story. The Solo children were also said to have embarked upon surprisingly normal living. In 2013, Felix was reported to have nearly forgotten his time in the dungeon since he was the youngest. He is attending school where his classmates know nothing that he has gone through. At the same time, it was reported that Kirsten, who recovered from her illness, is in a relationship with has a boyfriend. Okay, so on June 28th, 2013, workers began filling the basement of the Fritzl home with concrete. The house was to be sold on open market. While most neighbors approved of the disposal, some prefer that the property should just be demolished. Asylum seekers who offer the house, so they still offer the place to live in. People still live there. The house was actually officially sold in December 2016 and will be turned into apartments. So they will be demolishing it and turning into apartments. On May 2017, Joseph Fritzl changed his name to Joseph Mayeroff. The case serves as a base for the novel. So this case actually has done two different films based off of it called Room. And there was a novel off of it. And there's a film currently being made on it about it, too.
Wow.
Yeah. As of 2019, Joseph remains in his special prison unit for criminally insane, now at the age of 84, and prefers going by his changed surname, Mayeroff. And according to all accounts, he sits alone in his cellar watching and staring at TV shopping channels. Interrupted only when another...
They get TV in jail?
Yeah, of course they do.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought it was like their only TV was like in a community room.
They can get their own TV. So he usually, everyone says he reports just sits in his room and stares at the TV. And the only other...
Well, the dude is what, 90, almost 90 years old 84? Now? Like, what else is he going to do?
He's 84.
Well, still, like, 84 years old, what else is he going to do but just, like, sit there and eat
food? Watch TV all day. What else? Yeah, what else can he do? So, Joseph still hopes...
He's going to go down to that courtroom and or the courtyard and lift some weights.
So, yeah. He actually also is kind of forced to stay in his own room because other prisoners don't like him for what he did. And so, they keep him locked in his room because there's sometimes prisoners who will, like, walk by and try throwing things at him. Joseph still hopes of enjoying the rest of his life on the outside, maybe seeing his children one last time before passing or even going fishing.
No, he's not going to teach him the catch and release version, is he? He's just going to be like, this is how you... Could you imagine the bait is like a rag of ether? He's just like, wait to...
You are on one. Holy shit. This is how you properly catch them.
Remember, wow. the release is for the people who don't really want to catch the fish. Because otherwise, what's the point?
Oh, man, Joe!
Well,
I got flan on this paper.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Yes. It wasn't as like aggravating as some of the other ones you've done, because like the guy is actually...
It's kind of sort of a happy ending, too.
Yes.
I mean, it is a bit of a happy ending because the bad
justice,
guy,
I feel, was served.
The bad guy's in jail, regardless of the fact that he was the one who voluntarily went for the life sentence. And all of the kids, for the most part, are living
normal,
happy lives, other than the fact of having paparazzi bust down their fucking kitchen door. So that,
I mean, it kind of goes to show that you can go through some pretty dramatic shit in your life, but, you know... Shit can get better. Shit can get better. So it's just, you know, I mean, shit, that what they went through is like unbelievable. I mean, that was a lot of years in their lives. Damn it. How they're going to ever get that back type of thing. So I think it wasn't as macabre or as bad as my other stories that I've done. So I kind of feel like I have a happier ending to this one than a lot of them. No one really died, unfortunately. Like, not unfortunately. Unfortunately, the kid did. Like, the little baby, Michael was his name. But, you know, in the end, they're all living their lives now.
Little Michael. I love little Michael.
Yeah, so what'd you guys think of this one?
I thought it was good. I knew some of the details, like how he was able to keep the wife from realizing or like figuring out that he had their daughter in the fucking cellar. I knew that detail, but like,
besides being also a control freak, he was like, this basement is basically off limits. I mean, the neighbors even remember seeing him take things down into the basement, but they're like, oh, well, he's taking food down there. Well, they know that he had a cellar down there that was there for, you know, the Cold War type. Most of them did.
And then so the whole rations bit where he's like, oh, once they run out and they're fucked because I'm not going to bother with it anymore.
Yeah. So a lot of their neighbors were just like, yeah, we didn't think anything of it, because when he would take stuff down, he would also bring stuff back up. So maybe he was just someone who liked to be prepared for stuff. So even the neighbors reported seeing him go down there with stuff, but they were just like, we never really thought anything of it because he was just a normal guy.
Oh, it was just a shelter thing.
Yeah.
It's always the normal guy.
Right? They always say, they are just so normal.
And yeah. If you really think about it, what's his name? Jeffrey Dahmer, fucking John Wayne Gacy. They're all fucking...
Dude, John Wayne Gacy was quote, like quote unquote,
normal people of society. Freaking Ed Gein. Or not Ed Gein. Not Ed Gein.
Ed Gein was just...
He was not normal.
No.
He was straight up fucked in the head.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, all these people, there's so many people, there isn't one serial killer that you really won't read that won't, someone will be like, oh, he's just a normal guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
I used to go out to dinner with him.
I bumped into him on the sidewalk and he like totally apologized for something that I did.
I sold like anti-rape pamphlets with him.
So yeah, I mean,
I thought it was good.
It was good. I'm glad you guys like it.
Yeah, but you'll get to
hooray for pre-recording for all kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, we've been pre-recording a lot of episodes because I'm going to be leaving for 15 days. I am going to
Ireland,
Scotland, London.
Well, actually, no, by the time this episode airs, it should be coming out by the time you come back. So yeah, it should be like, yeah, oh, we'll have been back by the time this.
She's going to come back with an accent. I don't even know. That was like my attempt at an Irish accent, but I feel like it came out Canadian.
Just play the scene.
Well, by the time, if I get more Ireland fans, and by the time they hear this, they're going to find out the truth that I don't like beer. I'm sorry.
Maybe someone will... You'll find your beer in Ireland.
I'm sorry, but I hope you guys...
Yeah, but you forget that Sam likes her drinks ice cold, and they serve beer there at room temp.
They do. They do, and I don't want...
Isn't the glass cold, though?
No, the glass is also room temp. Because the way you taste like it, the actual like flavor of the beer is by drinking at room temperature, not cold.
I didn't know that. I learned something today.
I'm going to have a wonderful time. I'm going to have so much fun being over there. I'm even gonna try haggis too. So
more power to you.
Show me.
I'm gonna be taking tons of pictures.
I have a feeling.
I want a video of this.
I have a feeling that you're gonna get it up to your nose and be like, nope. And then you're gonna like try to force it down, like fork it down. But like,
I mean, you never know. Maybe you actually really like it.
I have a feeling there's gonna be that gag reflex that's just gonna say nope to the haggis and
we're
just like
find
come,
out. Yeah. I'll post pictures on actual.
I want actual video of you like trying this. You're like, okay, here we go. I feel like your mouth's going to open to it and you're going to get that
and
aroma
even if you,
whip and you're just going to be like on top of it.
I think, like, even if you do get it down, I don't think your stomach's going to tolerate it very well.
We're going to find out. I'm going to be
so what exactly is haggis for, like, our
it's cheap stomach filled
with a
bunch
the
of
contents
stuff.
Still in it.
Yeah.
So what if that sheep, like, ate random shit?
We're going to, like... Hold on, let's look this up. Really quick.
YouTube, how to make haggis.
How do you spell it?
I don't fucking know. I'm not going to eat it.
G.
Haggis, right there. It's the first one on the top of the list. Haggis.
How do you spell it? How close was I with the first three letters?
H-A-G-G-I-S.
Okay, that's
haggis.
That's pretty much how
it's
I was going to spell it.
It's a Scottish dish consisting of sheep's or calf's mix, orful mixed with oatmeal, I like oatmeal, soot, and seasoning boiled in a bag.
Let me see.
I like oatmeal.
I like oatmeal, but I want to see a video.
But you got to be like careful because their version of oatmeal might be something completely different from the America's version of oatmeal.
Oatmeal's oatmeal. How can you fuck up oatmeal?
Well, it's kind of... So we're listening to Trevor Noah.
Okay, so it says to make it, you have to wash the heart, the lungs, and the liver. Oh!
Yep, the liver itself is already an opening.
Liver is not bad if you know how to cook it.
I do liver. Not like
liver. It's the texture and the flavor.
I'm going to have my mom pick some flavor. Liver for you.
It says mince the lungs, the heart, and the trimmings. Place the mint, the mixture into a bowl. Finally cut with onions. I like onions. Oatmeal and seasoning. Okay, that sounds good.
So the binders.
And then they spoon the mixture into the sheep into a sheep's stomach. Or
and
then
just like what?
And they cook it in the sheep's stomach, yeah.
And they boil it, yeah.
I think they do.
So it's like it's almost like a meatball.
It looks good though. Like
it kind of sounds like a meatball, but encased in stomach.
It's so you need a sheep's stomach mm-hmm. or an ox's stomach, mm-hmm. cleaned thoroughly, obviously. So it's not has the containers.
So yeah, see that's where I was mistaken.
Scalded and turned inside out and soaked overnight in cold salt water. It has a heart, lungs,
the brine,
and so it has a heart and the lungs and some innards
and the liver.
Yeah, and the liver.
Sounds like, can you leave the liver out of my haggis, right? Please?
They put onions, oatmeal, salt, black pepper, coriander, nutmeg.
Now that you're, like, describing it, I know, it, like, it doesn't sound so bad.
It sound bad. Like, the way people describe it, it just sounds like it's supposed to be horrible, but I don't...
It kind of sounds like menudo, but just, like, not without...
That's what I was thinking, like, the lining when you make menudo, yeah. Like, the little honeycomb.
How to make haggis. Oh, wow, this music's so...
Well, yeah, send me a picture or video when you're, nommy nommy.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I thought, like, some of it was, like, a fermented meat, and I thought that's
how do we get to the topic? Oh, because you're going to Ireland. I was like, wait a minute. So how did we get to haggis?
I'm
going to
try haggis. I'm probably going to try maybe one beer, hopefully try and chug it down. Don't
Guinness.
Know. I'll find out. Maybe they can give me like some hard liquor.
No, good. I think Guinness would be like way too thick for her. I don't think she would. Because there's a lot of coffee notes in Guinness.
What else?
They have other types of Guinness.
Yeah, so. I know. I'm just going to try a bunch of stuff. I'm going to post stuff on my personal social media and I'll post some things on Tea Time also because I also plan on going there and maybe talking to some locals.
You better take some damn cards over there, woman, and be like, listen
to my podcast. I know. I actually do want to go there and talk to some locals and get some local stories. So I do plan on recording stuff like that and hopefully posting that and, you know, do some travels.
You need one of those
Ireland.
Little, like, voice recorders, be like,
ugh. I went to Office Depot to go and get one, and I know the prices, and I know which one I want to get, so I'm going to go pick that up before I head that way. Nice. So that way I have it, and it's easy to transfer into files to put on here. So hopefully when I get back, I'll be make an episode of all the
Does it use
people.
the little tapes, or does it use a memory?
Card.
Okay, SIM
yeah,
card.
Yeah, uses a card.
Nice.
I used to have one that used the stupid, like,
little me too. I had
cassettes.
One that had used the little cassettes. But, yeah, so going there, going to have some fun, hopefully get some local myths, folklores, and stuff there. Maybe some murder stuff, too.
If you're in Ireland, hit Sam up on the Facebook page to see where to, like, visit or eat some haggis. I wonder if it's, like, different by, like, little region or town.
Maybe I'll just, like, every region, every town
I want
some
haggis. I want some haggis. Haggis everywhere. Haggis.
But, yeah.
And your tour group will know you. That's the haggis.
That's the haggis lady. She always thinks. Put extra onions.
Like, what is it? Stomach lining.
Oh god,
smell like stomach lining.
I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna just mail some back to you guys. Oh. I'll bring some back. You can bring them back. So
no. Could you imagine how long it'd be on that flight? Like,
no,
just like
13 hours
simmering.
I could see
in it. Oh, you gotta keep it hot because it's the best way to have
the
it.
The best
like,
way to have it is hot. It's stunning.
Put it in a fridge for 13 hours and then have you try it.
Just
Joe.
Put it in the no. I put it on my stowaway because the stowaway gets cold, so it'll stay cold.
It's gonna get smushed all over your clothes. And stuff.
That's why you put it in a Ziploc bag, woman.
It's gonna get just like.
I am gonna bring
gonna
your bag's gonna get at
explode.
The bottom. And it's gonna.
I am gonna bring haggis back for you guys to try.
You can try.
I'm gonna bring it.
I'm gonna laugh if they have the like smell dog at the airport and they're like, there's drugs in here. But all it is your haggis in your bag. They're going to pull you off to security.
Imagine, pat you down. This, imagine this. My bag gets lost and it has the haggis. And like 2 weeks later, it finally gets
found. Oh, it's going to make me throw up. Don't let me think of that.
Quick, show us some more of those pictures and videos from that website.
Just even the thought of like 2-week-year-old haggis in a luggage case. That does it for me.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's today's episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. Please hit us up on social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We also have a Patreon. We will be doing our live feed when I get back from Ireland. Keep posted for the dates on that. We are currently working on merch. The release of our website is going to get pushed back until I get back from Ireland. But when the website gets released, we will have merch available. And it's going to be pins, stickers, magnets,
all the fun stuff.
And Yelly has some more stuff for us when it comes to merch coming out. We have 3 right now. Again,
I think so.
It's 3 right now, I think. Yeah. Right? We're working on getting a little bit more. So hopefully when I get back from Ireland, we'll have at least like 4 to put up. But we're going to work on that. So yeah, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, let us know how we're doing. If you guys want to share some stories with us, send it to our email at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com, or you can slide into our DMs and put it there too.
I don't know how the song goes.
Slide. I was just thinking like the electric slide.
Oh.
Alright. Now cha-cha.
Now let's do the cha-cha.
Anyways, thank you guys for putting up with us. We love you guys. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Stay spooky, y'all.
See you next time, Space Cowboys.
Yeah.
Joe, this was being an epic ending, and you were just, yeah!
I was like, you sounded like mountain lion's roar.
Joe doesn't remember what his ending is.
I remember what it is.
What is it?
It's Happy Haunting.
Thank you. Why couldn't you just be like, nah, Happy Haunting? No.
I think I should really change mine because yours is like fall within your categories.
Not really. Mine stays spooky. I'm not stay spooky. Yet.
Because like everybody gets murdered and turns into a ghost. Oh no, but then Joe's paranormal.
Yeah. Yours is more related to yours than mine. Mine, I should just be like, don't fucking die. Like, just don't die. Like,
stay away from creepers with either soaked rags.
Oh my
people.
God. Just whatever.
Catch
and release doesn't
exist
with those people.
Catch and release you guys next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.